I wanted that grimy man for myself.
He's a fixer-upper. He's a fixer-upper.
Yeah. No, then, if Daryl's on Property Brothers, this is definitely a fucking fixer-upper.
Then the next thing you know, he starts paying the electric bill on time and she gets bored and fucking takes off.
I like a fixer-upper. I love it when the gas gets shut off.
You're fixed. Boring.
What do you mean your car got towed? Yeah, you're...
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
He looks so free on that motorcycle.
Welcome back to the Walking Dead podcasts by LSG Media. I'm Dean. I'm joined by Matthew. And together, sort of, we're going to be talking about the latest episode of The Walking Dead called Something They Need. And there's a new guy coming on today. You know, not me. I'm stepping away from this show. This guy's, he sounds exactly like me, okay? He probably has the same shitty jokes and hack performance that I have. But he's super, super into The Walking Dead. He's real optimistic. I thought it was about time that I take a step back and let this other guy.
Is his name Nayed?
No, is that me backwards?
It is.
Wow. Maybe it is. I don't know. Just don't say that three times. It's like something demonic, I think.
A fucking black man covered in bees shows up in a mirror and kills you.
Yeah. Coming in hot with a new guy. Yep. He sounds just like me. Very similar. And he's going to show up and he's going to tell you everything he likes about this. He has a little bit more of an accent than I do, a Northeastern accent to be specific. But he's really into this. He's really into The Walking Dead. And I thought you guys deserve this because who needs my negative ass here every single day, right?
Just trash talking this poor hapless show.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me grab him.
All right.
He's coming on right now. Hey, Matthew, what's going on? My name is Dean.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you really do sound just like Dean.
Just like Dean, don't I?
Just like Dean.
Yeah. Dude, I'm so honored that Dean 1, I'm Dean 2, is giving me an opportunity to talk about The Walking Dead with you, dude. I'm very excited about this.
Awesome. I love the matching shirts, too. It's a nice touch.
Yeah. Hey, dude, this is my favorite show ever. It's amazing. I love it. It's so good. It's so deep. There's so much going on. I can't wait to get to this week's episode. I'm so excited to do this.
I got to ask you, happy positive Dean number two, did Dean number one let you onto this show so that you're so positive that I somehow seem like a monster in the end for any criticism?
No, man. He told me you were right on, dude. Like, I'm not worried about it. I'm so happy. I'm like if Dean took like some sort of medication, right? Which he probably should. But no, man, everything is cool. Everything's awesome. I'm pumped. I'm ready. That's it.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear the positivity. I think this episode's a good one. It deserves some.
I'm pumped, baby.
Maybe not that good, but all right.
Let's get cracking.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I'm pumped. I'm having a lot of fun about this.
You're gonna keep this up the whole time, Dean number two.
I don't know. He's given me the eye. I think he needs therapy. He's a very angry man. I'm gonna hang for a bit before I have to go. But you can just call me Posse Dean. That's what Brian Campbell too, by the way. So
you've been confirmed having some disease, but all right, I'll go with it. Posse Dean.
Yeah, dude, this is so excited. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's rock, man. Let's get to this shit. Come on, dude. Let's get to our opening impressions of the best show ever.
All right. You know what? You first, Posse Dean. I want to lead off of your, what I'm sure to be a parade of sunshine and happiness that is this show. You lean into your thoughts and I'll give you mine.
I don't know about you, man, but every season gets better. Every episode gets better. Every week. It's amazing. I can't wait. I hope AMC's listening to this and I hope I get an opportunity to be on one of their shows because I love The Walking Dead. It's the best show ever.
And, I do think you might upstage Chris Hardwick if you got on his show.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? That's amazing. I'm excited about that. I'm going to get my hair cut tomorrow. I'm going to go for the Hardwick cut.
I think it's very, I like that it's very businessy.
Tell you, you go into any salon and say, give me the Hardwick. They know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, man, they do. I go, give me the Hardwick, and they know exactly what it is. They go, oh, okay, that's sort of conservative, yet it's a touch messy at the front to show that you still have
nerd
credentials.
You sure you want to go all the way? You don't want to try a Softwick first? Nah, Hardwick.
No, man. It's going to be awesome. But seriously, and all these people talking about Game of Thrones parallels, hello. The Game of Thrones copied The Walking Dead. It's copied it the whole time.
That's true. Now that's just darn rootin' true.
It's true. I'm excited, man. So yeah, I loved this episode. I thought it was amazing. It's some of the best shit I've ever seen on television. I'll tell you, I'm embarrassed to say this, but you know, D number one told me to be as honest as possible. I've been pleasuring myself to this episode for hours, and it's starting to hurt. So I'm going to take a step back. I'm going to apply some salve, and I'm going to let you talk.
Whew, boy, oh boy. Well, you know, I guess I will say, I'm not going to lie, I'm not quite as positive as you are, Pazidine. I don't think that's ever going to be possible. But I do think this was a pretty damn solid episode, and a step up from last week's, which, you know, we talked about was kind of one of the farts of this season, which I'm sure you don't agree. I'm sure you found it impeccable in every way.
Did you just call this episode a fart?
Not this one, the previous one.
Oh, okay.
But, okay, all right. I don't want to get into a fist fight over the microphones from 3,000 miles away. But, yeah, no, I think this was a pretty damn solid episode, and I think a good example of balancing their different storylines well, because sometimes this show does have the, you know, the problem of there are episodes that feel like they're juggling storylines kind of just haphazardly, and one is way more interesting than the other, and it's totally unbalanced. It's like watching, you know, fucking little Anakin in episode one do the space battle, and you're like, just get back to the fucking lightsaber. I don't care about this part. Just go to the, you know, the Darth Maul, the cool shit. A lot of episodes have that problem. This was not one, I don't think. I think every storyline in here was even. I mean, some were a little more interesting, but they didn't spend too much time on the boring shit. I think this is a pretty fucking solid one, and I like seeing the choices Rick is making here, because again, you know, a lot of the people are saying Rick is starting to look like Negan. Wow, Nick is actually a perfect fucking combination of the two, but he is starting to look like Negan in certain ways, which are not totally new, but I like that we are seeing him rise up into a position of fighting back and wanting to lead some kind of heroic resistance, but having to go through kind of shitty means to do it. I think that's an interesting angle. And yeah, man, I'm looking forward to getting into this. Oh, and you know, Psyche brought it up in the chat. A lot of Tara in this episode, and I always think that's a good thing. I'll fight for that character all day long. I fucking love me some Tara. Want more of her. I think this is a good episode for her, too.
Tara is so brave. That's what I love about this character. That's why I think she is so perfect to be injected into the cast of The Walking Dead. To be honest with you, there's a lot of white privilege. There's a lot of cisgendered sort of patriarchy stuff going on. And I'm glad that they injected Tara into this episode. And you know what? The jokes about the clam diggers and the clam digger shacks, I just think that's really... We don't endorse that over here at LSG Media, okay? We always punch up, okay? We punch up because we want to always remind you that you are lower than the other people. We say punching up because we want you to remember that you're not as important, or you're not as strong or capable as white folk. That's why we call it punching up, because what we don't want to do is make fun of you as equals so we can all be and feel equal. What we want to do is, we want to make sure that we lay off of the Tara character to let her know that she is special. She is somehow different and needs to be protected, right? I think that's accurate, like a farmer's daughter's virginity, right? We need to protect that.
Jesus Christ, it's a father-daughter dance over
here. It is, yes. So please, I mean, I would really appreciate it if everybody would make sure that we just are going to make fun of the white people, the straight people, okay? We're LSG Media. I think it's time for a change. I think it's time for a change. I think we want to get rid of that explicit tag. Yes. I think we want to get up. I think we want to drop the explicit tag.
Hey, can you get Dean number one back on? I got to have a couple words with him real quick.
Hold on.
Wait. Yeah, that's fine.
All right, that guy's done.
Did you garrot him on the way out?
Oh, he's dead. He's bleeding.
He's bleeding
right here. It's amazing.
Jesus Christ.
He told me something about how I should take some sort of antidepressants or anti-anxiety medications, and that's when I stabbed him. I don't know what he's talking about. Antisocial behavior? I don't know. Antisocial? Wow. Me?
No, what are you talking about? It doesn't sound like depressed. Sounds like you're getting shit done.
Yeah, he said something about taking away the E explicit rating and not treating all of the people as equals. So that was the end of him. Sorry. I'm back, buddy. I'm sorry. But by the way, for those of you who haven't unsubscribed, I appreciate that. I just want you to know that I'm back. It's done. And he's dead. He's dying next to me.
Dying.
Which is annoying.
You're a mess.
It's a mess. I feel like Sasha in that cell room with the dead fucking psycho raper guy. That guy, the raper guy. Yeah.
Dead raper zombie man.
Yeah, for sure. Dean 2's dead. So if you guys got attached to him or Posy Dean, I heard the names floating around. He's gone. He's no longer here.
Forever.
And we're back. And hopefully our star rating bumps up again because, yeah.
Fuck. All right.
He looked just like me, but he could not fight, and he definitely was taken unawares.
Well, at least we nipped that in the bud.
Yeah, so we're talking about this piece of shit.
Oh, Jesus. All right, now I'm back to being the most positive member.
You are like an Aikido master. I find it so ironic that that was the first thing you ever tried in the martial arts world because you are like the dynamic sphere, right? If the yin comes in too hard, you go yang. If the yang comes in too hard, you go yin. You are the ultimate appeaser, the balance maker, and I really applaud you about that. I love that. You're very balanced.
That's me,
very
baby.
Balanced young man, and I'm very...
Until I tip into the wrong way and I start clearing.
Please, yes, do that. Start with all doppelgangers.
I'm gonna kick this recycling bin.
Yeah, let's do this shit.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So, initial impressions, I think I got. It's not a bad episode, man. Like, honestly, I know it's
fucking enjoyed it.
It's all right. You know, it's fucking, it's The Walking Dead, right? What are you gonna do?
Oh, fuck you. It's good. It's a good episode of television. You're just, no, it's good. For The Walking Dead. Fuck that. It's a good episode of TV. Damn it.
That girl's a real good, pitch. She's a really good pitcher for a girl, you know? I mean, she whips it underhand like I've never seen before. It's like that. Oh, I'm joking. It's
tight. 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 It's good.
Once you go white, you might say, All right. Yeah, I heard that once. I didn't make it up. Comedian. Go ahead, Matt. Take it away.
Oh, well, I mean, I already had my impressions.
Oh, fucking impressions.
We need to hear Dean number one's impressions.
Oh, you want to hear my real impressions. Okay.
Your real impressions.
All right, I feel you. All right, let's go. So it's pretty good, man. I thought it was well done. I know it's funny because I was late to the party. So here's the deal. You guys know LSG Media Studios, i.e. my apartment, is moving. And it's been a bit hectic here. And as a result, I was unable to watch this episode this morning. So I was in a bit of a dilemma because I was like, fuck, I got to post the episode like comment thing on Facebook. So I just grabbed a picture, posted it. And of course, I'm flipping through it a little, which was telling because I was like, I don't care if I get spoiled. So I was flipping through it a little and a lot of people were they had a lot of issues with... not showing some of the actions and stuff, but that really didn't bother me that much. I know that was a huge complaint. I liked some of the stuff with Negan. I liked him this week.
Yeah, me too.
I thought he was good. I thought it was cool to see Rick doing his thing. The Oceanside community, sort of assault, I guess, immediate surrendering, the sacking of Oceanside, I thought was pretty cool. It was a little clean. We'll talk about that. But overall, I mean, I thought this was okay, the stuff that was going on here. I have a real funny feeling that I don't know how much of this war is actually going to happen in the season finale.
Oh yeah. Now that I share with you.
Yeah, I have a feeling we're getting fucking bamboozled.
Well, what I'll say about that here, and we can talk about it more, you know, in our closing thoughts, I guess, but I think we will see at least a first good engagement. Like, I do want to see the finale have some serious fighting. Like, I want to see, the first, because I understand that, you know, and I don't know that much about the all-out war comic arc. I mean, I know a little bit. But it sounds like it is literally a war with multiple battles and lots of incursions and some bigger than others. And so I'm fine with seeing the first battle of the war. But we better see a battle. I don't want it to be the last 2 minutes or them like fucking doing it and aliens like strapping up, getting our guns. And they're like fucking cut to Rick. Like, well, now we're going to finally rise up. Fucking next scene. I'm like, oh, fuck you. Like, let's fight. I want to see some fighting. We've been building a long way to this point. So I demand one real battle, and then that can be the beginning of the war that we see play out next season. I'm fine with that.
If they show no fighting, you know what it is? You know how they decided to hold off on the Glenn thing being dead? That fuckery? Well, if they do this and they show no fighting at the end of this season, after talking about it the whole season, and they show none of it, and it just is this anticlimactic sort of ending, dude, you have to ask yourself at that point that if you're watching this, it's like you're dating somebody, right? And it's not going well, and you're breaking up, but like every once in a while, like you guys have sex, and it's fucking great, right? But then it's like, why the fuck am I even here? You know, it's like after boogoosh, like after the boogoosh, after that part.
You have that 5 minutes of rational thought.
Dude, you go boogoosh, you're like, fucking, why am I here? You want to jump out of a fucking window, right? We've all been there. So it's
we've all wanted to dive out of a two-story window.
Right.
To get out of a girl's apartment, all of us, right?
Or a guy's, whatever you're into, right?
Of course.
And you're all like, ugh, God, I want to go. Can I go? Can I get out right now? Can I get out right now? Can I leave right now? Where the fuck is my other boot? Right? That kind of shit.
Yeah.
So I feel like The Walking Dead is kind of like becoming like that. It's like, I want to, like... But now I feel like The Walking Dead striking back, right? Now it's like it wants you to break up with it. Like it's just starting to fight with you on purpose. Like it started with Glenn and you came back again after Glenn. And now I feel like it's going to be like, fuck you. Like I'm going to now I'm going to do this. I'm convinced. Here's my dumb metaphor. I'm convinced that if they don't show any battling, they're like, they want you to be mad. They're trolling you. They want you to break up. They just don't have the balls to make the move, right? They want to drive you nuts enough to where you go, fuck you, I'm fucking done. I'm like that. Right? That's what they want to do because they don't have the courage to fucking make the move.
Doing the whole, well, you just hate me. You just want to break up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm so fucked up. You know what I do? Oh, shut the window like Batman. Boom, onto the ceiling of a car, run off into the night and fight crime.
That's how I've always broken up.
Yeah. Well, I feel like it's borderline abusive if they decide to do something like that. That's it.
I mean, I am there with you on that. That would really... I had an inkling, two, three episodes out from last season's finale, I was like... They're not going to show us who he hits. Like, are we going to get to this whole bat thing? Because we know that's where it's headed. It's marching to that. And are they not going to show? And I was, we talked about it. I was like, I'm pretty sure they won't. I'm pretty sure they know they have to give us that. But I could see them maybe doing it. And what do you fucking know they did? I feel like if they're smart, if they've learned their lesson from last, I'm like, okay. Like, we've strained fan goodwill. We need to tick our toe into the little battle water and give them something for this finale. I mean, it's been a long, long road of, man, Rick is just downtrodden. I mean, we've been watching our main character laid so low. It's time to really see him, throw something in the face of me.
Right.
I want to see Rick striking back physically, like him against Negan, actually making some shit happen. We got to see a piece of that.
Let me ask you this. Finale. How would you feel if, by way of Negan's vast intelligence network, that their whole plan got nipped in the bud ahead of time and they had to sort of regroup and re-decide how to strike?
Oh, and you mean like it kind of ends on this note of them like recoiling back to Alexandria and being like, all right, we got to figure out,
Or maybe they have an engagement and they get their ass kicked and they have to regroup and redouble their efforts on the assault.
I actually think that might be even more likely now that I think about it. Like that, we see a battle, but it goes poorly, and it's looking bad for their whole resistance movement, and they have to pull back. And then I could see the show teasing us with, "All right, the Oceanside people have shown up, or these other people have brought out reinforcements." Or like there's hope for the next season. See you later, fucks. Like I could see them doing that. Actually, fuck, I'm already mad about it. Shit.
I don't know. I guess we could speculate till our fucking faces turn blue. I think we should probably just get cracking in this bad boy, and we'll talk about it as we go.
Let's.
All right. So we got this voiceover, our open, right? They have guns, a lot of them, montage. Oh, before I even continue, I should say we're going to spoil the episode. If this is your first time joining us, if we haven't already. So, whoops.
Right.
We're probably saying some bad words at times, so make sure your little kitty cats aren't there listening. And we're live, right? If you go to libertystreetgeek.net/live, that's libertystreetgeek.net/live, you will be taken to where we do our live shows currently. That's Mixlr. And we got a live chat. People can chime in on the fly. We can hang out. We can bullshit a little bit beforehand. And we have a lot of fun. So you miss some of this show because we do pre-show bullshit. And that's that, dude. So, yeah. Voiceover.
Hard cut to some nasty waterlogged Davies Jones pirate zombies. Yeah.
Yar.
Fucking dope.
Fucking love them. I love Barnacle. I like Barnacle back. Barnacle back is my favorite. I like him a lot. He is awesome.
Old Barney back. Yeah.
Yeah, he's bad.
No, they all look. They all look shoulder. So good.
Yeah, they look great. See, like, water creatures are just so gross because the added element of being drenched is just disgusting. Oh, it's so gross.
Just waterlogged and swollen. Ugh, awful. But it's fantastic. Yeah, it looks great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's awesome. And we get this voiceover where it's essentially Tara coming clean with Rick about Oceanside's weapons cache.
Yeah, yeah. Why didn't you tell us sooner?
And then
why
we,
didn't you?
Yeah, and then we get what I only assume D number two would think is amazing, but the scene between Carl and Enid where they're talking about people they killed, talking about people they didn't kill, and Tara's just sort of chilling next to them.
Oh, and we also, I don't know if you noticed this, we finally, for the first time in maybe this entire season, got a look at the hot Peter Pan woman that was so badass in season six, and we saw her for 5 minutes. And she's just been gone. She finally comes with them on this little, you know, Star Trek adventure off to another world. Remember the short hair, dark hair, Peter Pan lady who's Alexandria?
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
We haven't seen her since, like, she was working at the construction site with, like, Abraham.
Fucking hell. Peter
Pan.
Lay
back.
Lady. Yeah, yeah. That's right. She was there at the construction shootout with Abraham, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Like, has she been off filming a different show this whole time or something? She's finally back. I was like, damn, forgot about her.
Yeah, me too. That's a great point. Apparently, whatever rock they found her under, they did not find Heath under.
No. No, Heath is like, I am on to bigger and better things. Thank you very much.
Yeah. He's like, hey, thanks for the massive role. I'm out of here.
Thanks for the 20 lines. I'm going to go be the fucking lead of a primetime television show.
Yeah, what does he do again? Oh, we already discussed this. Is he Black Jack Bauer?
He's Black Jack Bauer.
Ah, that's
baby.
Cool. That's cool.
I nice. Know.
All right.
Actually,
so,
good.
Yeah, you watched it?
A little bit. Like, I've seen probably two or three episodes. My roommate watches it. I'm in and out, but it looks good.
That was the biggest deal. Side tangent. That was the biggest deal, 24, when it first came
out. Oh, the first season? Hell yeah. Dude.
They were like, no, dude,
the
it's an hour. Season. Like, it's crazy, right? Like, it's going to be every show. Like, there were like the nerd boners for the meta were like iron.
Blinking.
Yes. Yes, that's the sound of those iron rods breaking through Levi's.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what it sounded like. No, but that the meta of that was people were so into that shit. But
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Walking Dead. So we get our opening credits and we cut back to fucking old green thumb. Old Green Thumb.
Old Maggie Green Thumb.
Oh, that's Maggie girl. Teaching old samurai bun about tarps.
Yeah, old fucking man bun over here.
I call him Shitty Al Seed. If you're a True Detective watcher, you know what that means. True Detective? True Blood. Sorry. I think his name's actually Eduardo. And he's like, I like to get up in them guts. I don't think he talks like that. That's more like Rick, which Rick probably wouldn't say to Maggie unless Michonne dies. So yeah, he's like hitting on her. And she's like, no, this is what you got to do. You got to take your trowel, got to stick it in that dirt, got to till that field. Mm-hmm. That's what you do. She starts talking about wild berries. I don't know about you, but she was, yeah, well.
A lot to say about it.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I actually did like it. I like this little, the moment she has here, the understated leadership of being like, he's like, well, you know, I don't really know any farming. Can you help me out? And she's like, nah, dude, like, you'll figure it. Like, I fucking told you what to do. Figure it out. Like, I like that. I like to just, nah, I'm going to toss you in. You'll find your way. not going to fucking baby you.
Yeah, not only that, but he's also probing the defenses, right? He's got his rapier. He's sort of probing the defenses. He's seeing how good you might parry or perhaps riposte this strike. He's checking out your
Wait, are you talking about Gregory?
No, Eduardo. He's testing the defenses. He's seeing if he has an opening, right? He's like, maybe I can poke Maggie a little bit.
I got this really good long con idea of being shitty at farming. That's how I'm going to get close.
Yeah, he's like, but I don't know. He's like, I don't know. Stay longer. We'll go out and pick those blueberries together.
Stay longer. Maybe I can end up sitting behind you and we can make a pottery bowl on a fucking spinner. All right. We're done.
Yikes.
That's it.
So Maggie's managing the nursery. That's what she does.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry, man. I like this shit from Maggie. Like, I want, I'm just like, just somebody kill Gregory and let her become the leader. Like, I like, you know, we've talked about this before. I feel like one of the better long-term potentials the show has is to see Maggie become a complete and total, like, sovereign leader of another entire community. And, like, Rick eventually is dealing with her on very equal terms. Like, they know each other very well. It's like the idea of, like, two, you know, a different king and queen, like, running different kingdoms, but they're, like, they're allies, and they have this common understanding. I'm like, that sounds cool. Like, I've always liked Maggie, as much as people have given her shit for being, you know, all fucking silly-eyed over Glenn. I liked her. I still like her, and I want to see them give her more here. I want the Hilltop to become truly Maggie's community. I think that is cool, and they could do that really well.
Yeah. All right, I like that. So, Gregory doesn't like it, though, does he?
Oh, of course. He's just the sniveling, most just sweating Jim Beam all day long.
That guy must stink to high hell.
Oh, my God.
Just desperation combined with alcohol sweats. Must just...
It's pretty bad.
God, Jesus. So, we get a look in on Rick boosting Michonne up into a tree, right?
I like this. I like the sniper thing. You know, she's getting better at a shot. They don't have Sasha around because her ass is off on a dumb suicide mission. Mm. So Michonne's stepping up. She's going to be sniper cover. I like seeing them approach this very cautiously, because I was wondering, like, how are you going to because, you know, we talked about the episode where Terra first comes across Oceanside, and they have this policy of, we see somebody coming, no questions asked. Full stop, we shoot them. That's it. We pick them off from a distance. We will just kill you. Like, we do not even let you get close enough to talk or propose an idea. So I'm like, how do you go about approaching this place? You're essentially going to have to, you know, I like the way they did it. You know, we'll get there as it goes, but I like the idea of them staying far back, laying out some traps, laying out some defenses, and having, you know, an eye up in the tree to keep them covered. I'm like, there, you finally have done some recon and are approaching this, you know, with some caution and preparation.
Yeah, I like this a lot. I like how they break them all off into their respective romantic couples. We have, of course, Aaron and Eric, and then, of course, Daryl and Jesus, and Michonne and Rick. So all three of the romantic interests are blossoming as they all have to work together to determine how they're going to go ahead and assail Oceanside. I like this.
I like it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Good shit.
Yeah, it's not bad. How long do you think before Jesus fucks Daryl?
What is it going to take? What is it going to finally... once, you know, there's going to be some firelit scene where Daryl's like, I just thought there was something between me and Carol, you know? I thought there was something there. And Jesus was like, no, my son, come to your Lord and Savior. Fucking Enya music.
But he's also going to be like, I thought there was something between Kara and I, but maybe it was just our hair. Maybe I do like boys. I'm so confused, right? And Jesus is like, I will show you the path. That's it. And then babouche. Done.
Let's get
a bunch of women fucking throw themselves off of high, high buildings.
It's true.
Yeah. Well,
I wanted that grimy man for myself.
He's a fixer-upper. He's a fixer-upper.
Yeah. No, then, if Daryl's on Property Brothers, this is definitely a fucking fixer-upper.
Then the next thing you know, he starts paying the electric bill on time and she gets bored and fucking takes off.
I like a fixer-upper. I love it when the gas gets shut off.
You're fixed. Boring.
What do you mean your car got towed?
Yeah, you're...
Ha ha ha. Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
He looks so free on that motorcycle.
Okay. Well, here we go.
Here we go.
We're setting up. We're doing our thing. We got some discussions. And now, do you want to get to fucking old rapey David?
Oh, well, I mean, I got to ask real quick. What do you think of the use of the explosives?
Like the setting up of the explosives?
Yeah, like, because this has been kind of a contested thing, too, of is this the wisest use of their sticks of dynamite? You know, they did seem, I remember them getting quite a bit. I mean, like, it looked like they got, you know, a full couple boxes of TNT, but they still use a good chunk of it here. I mean, they're like wrapping up rolls of maybe five sticks of dynamite a piece and spacing them out. I don't know, but there's probably like, what, three or four explosions, I think, that ended up happening.
Yeah, do you want to save that? Because what I'm going to end up doing is launching into a whole discussion about this whole taking of ocean size. So save that if you don't
want. We'll save it.
Yeah, we'll go to Rapey David.
Rapey David.
Here's what I like about this scene. I like, first of all, if you know that old Davy has got rapey vibes, he should but not be anywhere near your female prisoners.
Right.
Right? Or even in your camp, for that matter, based on how Negan feels about the guy. Right?
Ugh, yeah.
Obviously, this is a person not conducive to any type of cohesive group. He needs to go away. Like,
totally.
Dead away.
And, you know, I'm guessing, I guess you could say that maybe this is the first time he's been caught in some sense, but this is certainly not this guy's first time. He's a fucking grosso who's like, I like it when they punch me in the face.
Yeah, here's what I'm going to say. I want to take a moment to applaud AMC for getting kind of aggressive here, right? For regular ass AMC television. I thought that this was kind of brave because so many shows want to shy away from this shit. Like they want to pretend there aren't scumbags like this in the world. And, you know, HBO has gotten blowback for rape and stuff like that before. Obviously HBO is going to be a lot different. I mean, I would say HBO and AMC are pretty much on equal footing in terms of the brutality and the bloody shit, but, pretty fucking close. I mean, at this point, which is so funny about our society. Our society is so funny. Like,
of course.
Spraying arterial jugular veins is much more acceptable than, like, you know, beautiful tits. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Like, because you know, if this were an HBO show, we would have seen a naked Rick and Michonne making hot love by the fire.
Yeah. Or
like, all out. Know? Rick's thrusting butt, Michonne's boobs out, just having a good old time. Yeah. But no, can't see two people making sweet love, but we can watch a guy get his head bashed into a fucking watermelon pulp.
Yeah, I guess that's just a harder conversation for parents, right? Well, I never didn't want to tell you about this yet, but have a seat. We're going to break out the book.
Sometimes people wrong others and they have to have their heads smashed.
It's all make believe. You can't say the guy's dick's make believe though, right? The guy's got a fucking the guy's busts out a mule on AMC. Your kids got to understand, like, what is that? You can't be like, well, that's make believe.
Yeah. John Hamm closes the deal on another advertising meeting by flapping his hog on the fucking table, knocking over some guy's drink.
I like it. So anyway, enough about my reform of television. My point was is that I thought it was kind of bravish of them to, you know, show aggression towards the Sasha character, and then of course Negan comes in and shuts that shit down.
Oh yes, this is one of I really like this because this is one of the better scenes and the better uses of Negan in the show yet. I think this is a really good example of making a villain interesting because and keeping him from being one-dimensional. Because in this scene, we have him being intimidating, villainous, and also charming and funny and kind of, you know, exacting a very brutal but, you know, a type of justice, but then at the same time still being, you know, a monster in his own strange way. Like, it encompasses all those things about him, and he's, you know, it's a shorter scene. It's not him walking back and forth across a line of people, leaning back, saying shit over and over. You know, we get just enough of him here, and I think he's used really well.
Mm. It's pretty impressive, his ability to just murder people with his Rambo knife, right?
Right.
Actually, it's more of a big-ass Bowie knife, but still, it's
there is something to be said about the way he nonchalantly, charmingly just does his thing. The music fucking folds up for a second, and then he just plunges that thing into the side of the guy's neck.
Oof. 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 Gets him good. Gives him what he fucking deserves.
Yeah. I feel like it's a setup in a sense. They're like, you know, this last time we went on run, fucking Rapey Davey got weird. And he's like, have him go check up on Sasha. Probably knowing what was going to happen just to like.
Right.
I know I'm getting conspiratorial here, but I almost feel like this was a setup. He's like, well.
I actually don't think that's a terrible suggestion. I think that's a certain possibility. The more I see of Negan, the more I see him as a clever manipulator, more so than just the big brash bully. Because typically you get, you know, like a fucking Benito Mussolini tyrant who is not the most like clever person in the book. They're more just clever in a brutal, I will crush my enemies and crush all opposition way. Like that's not like they're not like surgical in their violence. But I see him as almost I think of Negan at this point as a guy who's smart enough to put on this big brash bully persona to attract those kinds of guys, to attract that kind of muscle into his, you know, favor. And but behind that, he's actually a way more savvy person. Like I still on it. There's a lot of theories about who he was beforehand, and I've heard some that even have been floated by Kirkman, and so the truth may already be out there. But I honestly love the idea that he was a fucking psychiatrist before this or something, like just a truly smart person who understands human nature and is a manipulator above just being a physical bully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that's what makes him compelling is when he is behaving this way and not just straight up bullying, like the manipulation of Sasha, the sales pitch, as it were, right? He's trying to convince her, and I get it. Like, he doesn't want to just waste people. He's not a people waster.
No,
you don't get. We've talked about this before, right? One of the things we talked about in the beginning of the season was we need to see something from Negan to convince us that these people wouldn't turn on him. We have to see something here. Yeah. We have to see some sort of treatment that makes sense. And we saw it with Eugene. We see him trying to pitch to Sasha, who is obviously not buying it. I mean,
no.
She watched Abraham die. It's going to be a hard sell.
Hard sell, yeah.
And not in one fucking day, right? This may be over a course of months.
Totally.
But he talks about the one hell of a fracas last night, which I don't mind not seeing. I don't think it's completely and utterly necessary.
Yeah.
I mean, I
feel like it's one of those things where I can imagine it being cool and her doing some cool shit and it might be fun to watch, but I could very easily imagine a lot of people's reaction being like, oh, we got 10 minutes of this just action raid of her. And it's just a waste of time of just seeing more pointless gunshots in action. Like, so that's actually one of my gripes. I could see Walking Dead fans being like, just another waste of time. But now we're like, where was it? I wanted to see it. I don't know.
Every fucking decision you make, you know what I mean?
Every fucking decision. All the things I do for you kids.
Yeah, I think I do think that you have to be careful with that sometimes, because some people might take it as you masking fuckery, right? Like what did happen? Who did she kill? How did it go down? How'd they eventually catch her? What happened?
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
So But
I actually do kind of like the sharp juxtaposition of seeing the last thing we see her from her in the previous episode is her just running towards, you know, a lit up door to the inside of this gigantic compound. She wastes a couple dudes on the way in and you see her just walk off and, you know, disappear into this place. And you're like, oh, that's certain death. Like you are one fucking person in this huge place full of heavily armed people. You're fucked. And I like just cutting to the fact that, nope, she was a prisoner. She did. Mm. She obviously made some kind of progress, but, you know, it leaves the question, did she surrender or was she overwhelmed? You know, like what exactly happened? You know, did Negan come across her and tell everybody to, you know, hey, all right, guns down. We got her. You know, that kind of, that's what I'm leaning toward. That whenever there's somebody, a lone wolf acting individual like this, who has the guts to just go up against him this hard, he's like, all right, maybe we can use this person. Like, I think that's his reflex.
I have a feeling, based on the fact that she was still armed on the way in, that I think what I like about it is I like that we see her. There's an appeal to me for the hard cut to her being imprisoned, because I almost feel like it's showing you the futility of a one-man action against Negan's compound.
Totally.
Like, hey, you got caught. Fucking surprise, surprise. You didn't get to the main guy. Crazy. You just walked in the door of a building you don't know anything about. You don't have any ideas to the layout. You don't know where the corners are. You don't know where anybody could be hiding. You're totally like in the dark here. It's such a bad plan. The lack of plan.
Oh yeah. It's a fucking shit show. It was a death mission. I mean, that's what it was. She was wanting to die on this.
Right. Well, Negan gives her, I like when he's like, oh shit, I remember you. You were there. Right?
Clippity clap. Two of your boys. Yep.
You got beach ball size lady nuts coming in here all kamikaze. But he does tell her, well, this, I'm shorter man. This could be the beginning. You can help me run this place one day. All of us together, following the rules. I like this little dialogue here. He says, you can help me run this place one day, all of us together, following the rules. That's all this was ever about. It can still be you. I know it's a hard picture considering what I did, but Sasha, we all got shit to get over. Take some time to think about it. Yeah, I mean, I'm paraphrasing some of it, but yeah, oh, yeah. Awesome music here too. The music in this episode was great.
Oh,
this
yeah.
synth-heavy stuff I love.
And I like this. There's this interesting way the show has used Negan. Another thing I like, is where a lot of times he will deliver the same message that maybe Rick has said or Father Gabriel has said, but he puts it in this very blunt way that you can't really get past. Like everybody else, you know, everybody else, and we've talked about this, you know, everybody else speaks in kind of like metaphors and is like, well, you know, sometimes we must put ourselves behind the needs of this and that, and like all these big long speech. And he goes, Sad, we all got shit we gotta get over.
Yep, right.
People die. People die. You lose people. We got to get over it. Even though I'm the guy who fucking killed your people, you got to get over it. And as awful as that is, especially coming from him, he is right. Like, what are you going to do? Like, either you kill yourself over the fact that you lost those people, that he killed those people, or you keep moving. Like, I mean, it's an awful delivery from him, but he's right. And, like, I like those times where he comes down with the truth so bluntly and so meanly, and he just cuts right to the point. I think that's part of what made Eugene turn over, of, you know, him just coming to, did they ever use you for anything like this at Alexandria? Did they ever actually acknowledge that you're smart? And he was just kind of like, well, no. Like, no, they didn't. I mean, that's pretty unavoidable. Once you're faced with it that plainly, you have to kind of really stare at it and be like, well, you can't say you're wrong.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's interesting. You know, it's funny to think about that. It's so emotionally driven, right?
Yeah.
Like it's a weird thing to think about. Like he killed people you care about. So because of that, regardless of what he tells you. So here are the facts. You're alive and you shouldn't be. He could have easily killed you. The fact is that he decided not to kill you. The other fact is that he's telling you that he wants you to be among his people, right? It's funny to think about that because, like Eugene, who never really formed strong bonds with people, he just sort of said, all right, I accept this offer, right?
Totally.
I'm going to take you up on this offer because I'm tired of you guys telling me I'm fucking useless all the time.
Right. Making fun of my sorghum.
And it's funny because if Sasha could just get over the emotional impact of losing her friends, which I wouldn't either, but I'm just saying if she could, that's it. It's so interesting to think about that. Just relent and join them, right? Like that has to be on some level tempting when, of course, you're steering at your own mortality. When you're thinking, I'm going to die here, right? I mean, that's so many people. Like I see people on some people on our page and just some people in general be like, fuck that. Like, I'm like, yeah, you think that. Until you're sitting in that cell and they're like, well, come on out here. We're going to kill you now. Like, I don't know, man. Like, yeah. I know a lot of people think they would be like, yeah, God, kill me. But I think a lot of people, you know, think they would be Daryl. But I think a lot of people would be Eugene. And they'd be like, you know what? I'm going to, and maybe even something more sinister than Eugene. And we've talked about this before. Maybe even sinister enough to be like, I'm going to bide my time. I'm going to chill. I'm going to wait. Like, that's what Sasha should do, right? Bide your time, chill, wait for the opportunity to do your thing. But that, you know, screaming and yelling, fuck you to these guys in the midst of it all, especially when he's making you an offer. It's not like he's dragging you off to kill you. Then you can say, fuck you and scream and kick and fight and try to die fighting because he's going to kill you anyway. Totally. But right. If he's making you an offer, it's such a different situation. It's such a different, because you have to believe him because he didn't kill you yet. He would have killed you already. You would have already made an example of you. Why go through this whole thing? Unless he's a sadistic fucking crazy person like, you know, Ramsey Bolton. But
like Ramsay Bolton in Game of Thrones doing the he gives you the fake escape, like you think you escape, but he's just hunting you for sport type of shit. Like, sadistic. You know what I mean? Like, that's not this situation. But it's, I don't know, it's weird to think about. I'm not saying I have an opinion on one way or the other. It just made me think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And I still think there's just something at the root of it compelling of, regardless of where she's actually at, if she weren't in this situation, if she weren't captured by Negan, if she were still back at Alexandria or back at Hilltop or, you know, trying to do something else, the truth is still there of, we all got shit we got to get over. Like, how much longer are you going to be incapacitated by this? Like, of course you feel grief. Of course it's still affecting your life. Of course that person's memory still means something. But how long are you going to be totally crippled by this?
Mm-hmm.
He's fucking like that. Hearing it come from him, you know, him being just the actual murderer and the cause of all this pain makes it, you know, that much more awful. But that's the thing. He's still right, even though he's terrible. And I like her having to face it down that way.
It's a weird situation to be put into. It's a weird situation to be to think that, you know. Well, I could fucking bash your brains in right now, and you could pull an Abraham and be like, well, I don't really care. I mean, that was a situation where they were getting it in no matter what, but when you're in that cell and you're being pitched this idea and he's telling you that you could live and join me and it could be kind of cool, you'll see, give it a chance. I mean, that's just, I got to believe that's a hard offer to refuse in most situations.
Totally.
I could see maybe putting yourself in a position where, like you and I have said, like I just said it a minute ago, lying low, just wait it out, man. Wait it out like the fucking man in the iron mask. Wait it out.
There you go.
You know?
There you go. And I like, again, that he does this kind of interesting, I'm going to, like, I'm still threatening you. You are not out of harm's way, but I'm also going to empower you a little bit. Like, he says, this is your knife, and you can use it how you want. Like, he gives her this little measured dose of free will of, like, mm-hmm. You have this tool now. You do what you want with it. You want to kill yourself with it? Go right ahead.
Right.
You want to kill this zombie with it? Do what you're going to do. You want to try to attack me with it? Do it, but I'm going to fucking kill you. Like, I'm right here. I'm standing above you. Like, I love the whole dynamic he presents of, and I feel like this is the way he lures people of, I am going to enable you. I'm not here to fucking crush you. I'm trying to convince you that I want to give you power. Here you go. Here's a piece of it right now.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that she went on a suicide mission to try to kill Negan. Has a giant Bowie knife in her hand, and despite him standing, like, do you think she might have thought, could I take him here? Like, could I get at him?
For sure, she thought about it, and I think him saying what he said is what convinced her not to. Of like, you could try, but I'm above you. You're gonna have to come out of a crouching position, leaping at me, and I got a big fucking reach of a baseball bat. You're not gonna win. You know, it's almost him saying, like, hey, if you wanted to try that, you should try it at a different point. Not right here. This ain't a good strategic move for you.
Yeah.
But he, you know, the fact is that he gave her this knife. And it's funny what happens later on in the episode, because she hesitates and she comes to the decision that, you know, she does want to kill Negan later, because she had the opportunity of, could have killed the old fucking zombie rapey Dave and then be just waiting like a fucking tiger at that door for it to open up, knife in hand, and plunge it into whoever comes through.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't. She's still hesitant in that moment.
Which is interesting, because she was so convinced that the suicide mission was the answer.
Yeah, totally.
But now maybe not, right? Maybe not. Maybe this hesitation here, this she strikes me as very defeated, despite the fact that she's play-acting Eugene later. But I don't know, man. It's I can imagine if she got the shit kicked out of her in the scuffle and thrown down there, maybe she's a little exhausted right now and it's just not the right time. Maybe she's thinking she's gonna bide her time. But I don't know. It's crazy to think about the conviction she had in this fucking boner she had for killing Negan, and she's face to face with him. He's got a bat, you got a knife. You're sitting down, so you're kind of in a bad spot.
Very.
But I almost feel like, how many times have we seen Walking Dead do silly fuckery like this, you know? It's or the emotion of the whole thing passed. Like Jesse Bev says in the chat, she was not in suicide mode until last minute. Maybe that's it. Maybe she just woke up and she just wasn't there emotionally. She has to, like, get herself up again. Like a berserker. Like, she has to get there. She's like, I'm chilling right now. I don't feel it. I know I don't got this fight. I'm not gonna
kill myself for a bad strike at Negan. That's just not going to be worth it.
Totally. And I mean, how often does that happen to you? Like, there's a great, and you, this is no spoiler, Dean, because it's in the first fucking episode. You fucking idiot. But in the first episode of Breaking Bad.
God damn it. I'm just kidding.
But yeah, in the first episode where he has that moment where he sticks the gun under his chin and straight up pulls the trigger and then takes it away and realizes the safety was on. And that's when he's like, oh, fuck. Like, yeah. That's when he's like, he couldn't do it again after that. He had that moment of where he could do it, and he was going to do it for real, but it wasn't there. And once you have that space of a pause, it's hard to get back into that mindset necessarily. I think a lot of – you can get carried up in the momentum and do it, but to get back into a, I'm going to outright kill myself, that's a whole fucking different level of commitment.
It sure is. And, you know, Negan, not that I want to beat the scene – fucking to death, but we're going to keep going.
Right.
But I think that, you know, when Negan said to her, when he called her, he said, coming up in here all kamikaze. That's not throwaway dialogue. He knows that she was making a conscious decision to do a one man, one woman, like not returning mission. Like, you only have enough fuel to get you to Pearl Harbor.
Totally.
You can't fly back. So, you know the fucking thing going in. And it's funny, he knows that about her. And he's so confident in his ability to bend people and to use charisma and intimidation and manipulation on people that he knows she was going in there on a kamikaze mission. He also knows that somebody going in on a kamikaze mission probably feels like they have nothing left to live for. And he also knows that she probably hasn't thought that through. So he has, totally. He's thinking about these variables before. Right. He's like, she had to. I can see him thinking to himself, like, I'd love to be in his mind of him going, this crazy lady just came in here by herself gunning for me, knowing the chances of that were so slim that I'm going to pick her up. He's thinking I can do something with her. Right. It's not like if it's going to be a strategic attack by a squad of guys who are coming at the wall. Right. Those guys all need to die. They're invaders. They all need to die. But this woman, this is different. This is something he's like, she thinks she's got nothing left to live for, but maybe I can convince her otherwise. Like, that's some serious confidence.
Oh, yeah. And I do think the moment he has this recognition of, oh, you were there. You're one of Rick's people, one of the Alexandrians. I think he really keys into, okay, I can use you. You can be somebody I keep, you know, my thumb on the pulse of and keep track of things.
Mm. Yeah, it's fascinating that... Maybe he has an insight into this type of behavior, you know? My fear would be, because if it was me in that situation, I'd be like, damn, this person came in like on a suicide mission. She's got to go, right?
Right, yeah. This is because just a pure threat.
Because why wouldn't this person... But then if you stop and you think deeper about the psychology of that, if you know anything about that, then maybe you can start to realize, oh, maybe not. Maybe something else here. So, kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, what's next?
Let's move on, baby, because Eugene comes to visit her.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Eugene. Is it Eugene? Yeah, Eugene comes right after.
And his pillows and his milk, or whatever he brings her.
Fucking milk, huh?
Probably just water.
He says, why? He says, what they do? He says, they're keeping me safe. Eugene gives her some stuff, tells her that he was on his own. You should accept said offer, Eugene says. And he says, I believed I could be brave. I was full tilt delusional. I never have in my life been so scared. He thought he was going to die.
You know,
obviously,
what
this all makes sense. This is what most people would feel, right?
Totally. And I love, I mean, to give him credit, man, he's fucking self-aware. I mean, you can call him sniveling coward as much as you want, but he fucking knows who he is. He's not pretending to be anything else. And what I really like from this is the parallel between each of them having their ride off into the sunset on this wave of heroism that will get me killed and that can be the end for me. Because he talks about, he's like, when I rode off and, you know, he says, I rode off into the sunset, you know, in that RV, and he thought that was going to be the end of it. Like, he was going to ride off, be this noble, you know, decoy that would, you know, buy them time and probably get himself killed. He was happy to do that, man. That was his true moment of heroism, and he was happy to go off and die in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But when that moment passed and he didn't die in it, and he had to watch his much stronger, much braver friends get killed in this horrible way and know that then he was going to be pulled back into the clutches of these people and maybe be killed just as brutally. That, you know, you can have your moment where you just leap off the bridge, but if you survive that, it is, fuck, that's a hell of a lot different to continue being brave after mm-hmm. that moment. Like, and I like him basically reflecting on that. He's saying the same thing for her here of, like, you had your moment of you built yourself up. You mustered up that crazy berserker confidence to run in here and die in a firefight, and you didn't die. Are you really ready to muster up that again and get yourself killed? It's like, really think about it. Like, stop and think about this, because, you know, he had the wherewithal to say, I'm not that guy. I am not that brave fucking soldier who can just grin and bear it and go all the way through to the end. I'm not that guy. I can't endure that again, and I don't think I can handle it. So I fucking took what was offered.
That's it. Not only did he take what was we've talked about this so much, but not only did he take what was offered, he saw his life ending. He did have that moment of bravery with the RV. He's not a courageous person by nature, right?
No.
He does not have the ability to endure things that are fearful or things that cause him discomfort. That's right. He lacks that. He's not good at that. He's going to try to appease himself. He's going to try to put himself in a situation where he can thrive. And that's just what he's done. You know, it's a weird situation to call him cowardice, but I guess he is. I mean, in the context of the show, he avoids that shit. He listens to what everybody tells him. And and I think there was a good play by Negan. Negan knew immediately in talking to this guy and learning about this guy, he's a master reader of people, I think, Negan. I think he knows enough about Eugene to know that this guy needs to be empowered. He needs to be given a responsibility. He needs to be given a job, and that's that. And I think he will do his thing. I still don't think. Now, on the same side, he's not a betrayer, right? I think there's a difference there, right?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that
too. Yeah, I think there's a distinction between cowardice in somebody who is a betrayer. I don't think. But then again, maybe, I don't know. It's tough to say.
It's one of those things where I thought about it most especially in this episode. I was wondering about it in the previous episode that was about Eugene, you know, getting involved with the Saviors. But especially this one that I think even, you know, gun to his head with Negan saying, all right, tell me the exact layout of their plans. Where do they go? What are their rendezvous points? What do they do? I still think he would maybe give him misinformation, maybe try to mislead. Like, I don't think he wants, I still do truly believe that Eugene doesn't want to get them hurt. He doesn't want to throw them under the bus and sacrifice them. If he could avoid that, he would. But he's still not going to give up his place here. Like, he's still, this is better for him personally, I think he sees it as, but he's not going to go out of his way. I would say this, I don't think he's going to go out of his way to harm any of Rick or the Alexandrians, but I also don't think he would sacrifice himself to save them. I think he would be honest about that. I think he would say, look, I'm not gonna fucking let my head get chopped off to save you guys. Like, don't put yourselves in a position where I have to do that. Fucking stay away.
Yeah. I think maybe he's a turncoat. Maybe he's more of an opportunist, right? Somebody who the ethical weight is largely irrelevant to him, right? It's more about the ethical consistency of, say, allegiances. I think that's malleable for him. I don't think he would actively do something to put you in danger. I don't think he would do that to gain favor, because I think he actually cares about people. He's not a sociopath, right? So I don't see him betraying to gain advantage and do shit like that. But I do see him being pretty loose with allegiance, because he can't protect himself. He's going, in other words, I think if Rick's crew demolishes Negan's crew, then he'll be right back in Rick's fold. And it's not anything personal. It's just him trying to survive the only way he knows how to.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he knows he doesn't have the strength to be this, like, insider operative destroying the place from the inside out. Like, he can't do that. He fucking knows it.
It's like think of any historical shit. Like, you know how Rome, they would like take over these other provinces and then assimilate all those people into their culture, right? Those people didn't go, no, no. Some did, right? But the large majority were like, okay, guys, you're... Here's the fucking new boss, same as the old boss, right?
Fuck it, I'd rather not be dead, I guess.
Right, and that's just fucking common people trying to get by. They're not martial. They're not warriors. They're fucking chilling in the fields doing it.
Yeah, you think the fucking peasants cared when the fucking aristocracy changed hands in some fucking insider feud? They're like, whatever, fuck.
Yeah.
I don't raise my taxes, I guess, fuck.
They're not going to put us to the sword, are they? No.
Oh, good.
Oh, great, excellent. Super.
Then I will keep bringing Bali to the castle.
This Julius Caesar's all right. Let's go. You know what I mean? Like, I sometimes think about it like that. I know that's a different scale and it's a lot more impersonal, but Eugene is in a tough spot. I mean, what's he going to do? Refuse Negan and get his head bashed in? Fuck no.
Right.
Why would he do that?
Right.
Why would anybody
do that? And I think, I think his moral justification as well is that I'm not out there on patrols. I'm not out there actively hunting, Rick and company, and I'm not giving up their positions or giving them insider intel to better crush them or oppress them. I'm fucking back at the base. I'm helping them build up their fences. I'm managing some resources inside here. I am not getting my hands dirty. I'm not out there hurting people. I'm just back here doing a job. I'm a fucking pencil pusher. And I kind of get it. Like, that's the thing. Like, I don't hate Eugene. I'm not like, oh, you monster. I'm like, I get it. Like, I don't think it's nothing to be exactly proud of.
He's not
a
monster.
I fucking understand it.
No, he's not a monster.
But and that's the thing. I got to give credit to this show for having this character that, and multiple characters who nobody really falls into these hard black and white lines. Like, even Negan is warbly. Like, there's space between these actions.
Yeah, and when I think about somebody who might be a little bit more immoral, somebody who is trying to gain shit, that's the Spencer move. Spencer tried to do that and got his guts spilled. And he tried to betray his own guy. Now, here's something that I know the show didn't spend much time showing any grappling with, but here's something to think about. Negan was approached by three women Eugene was approached by these three women to poison Negan.
Yeah.
He could have turned around and went right to Negan and said, listen, here's the reality. Because it wouldn't have been backlash to him.
No.
It wouldn't have been backlash to him. I don't think
have engendered him even more to Negan and been like, oh, hey, you really are a lawyer. You're looking out for me, bud. Now I'm going to go bash these three women's heads in.
Right. I mean, that's a small shiver of courage that he's enduring because he's trying to, he has that knowledge. He's not actively trying to hurt people to gain shit. That's not what he's doing here. He's just he's a fucking schlep.
Just good old boy trying to play Atari.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah, that's it. That's the lyrics.
Nice.
That's it.
Well, she's, she being Sasha, is like, go away. And then Rapey Dave starts to wake up as a walker. We go to old Gregory and Magpie out here, chilling in the fields. What is she? She's always got her. She always wrist deep in the earth. God damn it!
Yeah, she's Maggie Greenthumb.
I guess
what she does. She feels at home with the soil under her fingernails.
I'm just tilling the fields for my lord.
I'm just the salt of the earth. Time for another prayer.
I guess. Got a sweaty back.
For my dead husband.
Putting some more flowers on his grave.
But no, she's out here digging up, trying to replant a wild blueberry bush inside their garden. She's out here digging this thing up.
And we see
out comes old fucking Slimy Snake.
Slimy
Snake. You ever seen a python have whiskey sweats? Oh, that's me, baby.
Old Python's got a dagger behind his back, a nice little buck knife.
Yes, sir.
He's thinking about plunging into Maggie's back, but, well.
Like a real hero. Real big man. Real big, strong, good hero of a man. I'm going to fucking stab this kneeling pregnant woman in the fucking back. God, they will sing me praises and throw parades.
That would have been gangster, huh?
Oh, my God. So gangster.
Think about it. Ka-cha!
Y'all want to hear about how I got this fucking teardrop tattoo? Fucking stabbed a kneeling pregnant woman planting a bush.
Call that a twofer, man. Two for one.
Call
that a twofer. Yeah, I don't know. I was like, imagine if they just killed her. That'd be fucking wild. Anyway.
He's so, even though his first line to her, where are your friends? He's looking around, making sure there's no fucking witnesses. Oh, you creep.
It's so funny. I like how he's like so far away from her. Like, what are you going to lunge at her and hope you get lucky? you're fucking drunk all the time. You're sweaty as balls. Like, what?
Yeah. Man, Father G cured his disease and passed it on to him for sure. This is
he's the new
man.
Sweaty man.
He's the new sweats.
Mr. Sweats. It's like fear sweats combined with liquor sweats.
Coward sweats. It's all there.
It's all there. So many different sweats.
He's all got it all. He is sweats positive on every test.
Yeah, 100%. And he's got it way worse than Father G ever had it. That's for sure. The sweats,
truly.
Way worse. Well, Greg has the knife, and Maggie's like, can you, well, I finished doing stuff with my trowel, and and then the guys walk by, and I actually like the scene. I like how Maggie makes a conscious decision to tell the other guys he's learning, right? That's leadership. She's throwing him a bone. She doesn't want to embarrass him in front of these people.
And
he already
shows,
looks like a schlep.
Totally. And it shows just how much more small he is, because he takes that as like this insult. This like, you've emasculated me. And it's like, no, I'm looking out for you, dipshit. I kept you from getting killed just now. But he totally takes it as an undermining of his leadership again.
Yeah. I love love when he charges the walker. He charges and then he stops and then he runs away.
Yeah. Just runs full tilt at it. And you know, we actually see an example of it later on in this episode. I'll point it out when we get there. But I always, especially in these encounters where it's one person, one zombie, I'm like, you really can't just give it a front kick to the stomach or chest. It's not martial. It's not strong. It's not fast or agile. You can just kind of, just like knock it onto the ground. And hell, you can just go over there and poke it in the head. Like, making such a big deal out of it, man.
Mm.
You don't even have to run. Just stride on over there, kick it. It's just a big dumb baby, basically. Big dumb ugly baby.
Would you have saved him here if you were in this situation? And like you were fighting one and the other one had him down? Or would you have been a little slow to recover?
I'm a less noble person than Maggie. I might have been like, this is a perfect out. This is the perfect way to get rid of fucking old sweats McKenzie. I can't fucking drink enough booze.
Yeah.
And I want to fucking undermine Maggie at every turn.
Yeah.
But nah, she's better than that. She's like, I'll save your old dumb shitty ass.
It's going to cost her in the end. This is going to be like some Shakespearean shit, right? She fucking...
Oh, this is, yeah.
You know?
You could have had Iago right here, but
that's
nope.
That's it.
Nope, you're going to... He's going to fucking convince you to strangle your wife.
I think I would have let him go.
You think you'd let him get eaten?
Oh, yeah. Just a nice bite. Oh, damn, that's terrible. And then I trip over. Oh, no. And it gets it just a little nibble. And she gets his wrist. And I go, oh, no, he's fucking been bit. And our doctor's gone. And we'll give him some aspirin. We'll give him some aspirin.
We got a lot of that.
See if the fever breaks in the night.
Gosh darn. I guess I got to stick an ice pick for your eye. Whoops-a-daisy. Yeah, fucking asshole. Yeah. I hate this guy. But no, yeah, she takes care of it for him. And what do you make of his whole... Because I never thought he was, air quotes, genuine. But I did think it was interesting. If his plan, you know, which obviously he cowards out of, if his plan was to come out here where she's removed and isolated and fucking stab her in the back, kill her, get rid of her, why does he go through the trouble of offering this fake olive branch of, maybe we should talk. I feel like I've excluded you and been too hard on you. And, you know, and she graciously is like, yeah, let's go back and talk. Like, I'm happy to do that for you.
Does he say that before the attack or after?
Yeah, no, well before.
So maybe he's just trying to gain her confidence, get her guard down.
So she can turn around.
Maybe.
Well, you know, it's funny because it puts him in this position of now that fake conversation you never intended to happen is going to happen. Like,
interesting. Yeah.
You're back now and she's going to come talk. What are you? Because she's going to see right through it if he was just like, no, fuck all that. I don't want to talk to you. She'd be like, well, why did you come out here and offer that? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I don't know. I mean, yeah, why say it? I'm not sure. Maybe he didn't know what to say. Maybe he didn't have a plan. Maybe he's like, I got to get rid of her. And he had the liquor sweats, right? And he's like, not thinking about it.
Only God, when he's only being a fucking Machiavellian demon, does he actually say reasonable shit? He's only saying good things when he's trying to sneak a knife into your ribs.
And he's not even, he's not cool enough to be Machiavellian. Like, he's not. He doesn't have that finesse.
No, totally not.
He sucks. He's an asshole. So, anyway, let's go over to the clam shack and see what's going on there. I'm assuming they get clams out of the ocean for food.
Oh, they must.
The ocean
little
side.
Fishies and clams and oysters.
I'm sure they eat a ton of fish.
It's just a big fucking Joe's Crab Shack over here. That's all they're really doing. It's just a fucking all ladies Joe Crab Shack.
For sure. I'm sure they eat tons of fish and in clams. And I'm sure they're fucking delicious. So, Tara's all like, yo, I'm going to hold a 45 on you with one hand. And I don't know what happens here, but she's like, hey, what's going on? I got my gun on you guys. And stay quiet, put your hands in your head. Cindy walks in, Tara pats her down. The hot porn starts right after that.
That's it. You sit back and watch, Grandma.
She just lights up a cigarette.
Let me show you technique. Yeah, no. But no, I actually, in all seriousness, I actually really like the scene. Other than Tara coming so dangerously close to each of them with her gun in just one hand, I'm like, at any second, they could fucking manhandle that out of you. But I think there is some previous somewhat trust here, at least between her and Cindy, so I kind of understand it. But I like this fucking gangster silent entry, and she's just in the house. Because, like I was saying, I was like, this is an actual tough question of how do you get into this place? How do you actually breach the walls, get in here? Because they're shoot on sight, and they got plenty of guns to do it. So I like the fact that, yeah, Tara is the one who knows the pathways around here, knows where the sight lines are, gets up into this house all Sam Fisher crouched in the dark style, and has a gun on him. I was like, that's a solid plan. Like, he'd go right to the top, to the leader, he has a gun on him, and you know, propose this idea.
It's funny because so many people complain about shit like jumping right to it, and then they complain when shit gets drawn out. It's like, wake up your fucking mind. I like this,
that's
too.
True.
I like how they're like, all right, we're going to show Sasha capture. All right, we're going to show fucking Dwight in the prison. All right, we're going to show Tara in the thing. We're going to move shit. That's fine. None of that bothers me. Especially because, when we'll get to the Dwight thing, but I know people are like, how did she defeat? She didn't. I think he came willingly, and she said, well, you got to stay here.
Totally.
You got to stay here in this fucking jail cell if you want to come with me. Because
he
would have just shot her. He wouldn't have been standing there all ominous in the fucking shadows.
Yeah, he would have just Denise'd her through the eye.
Yeah, absolutely. You know he can shoot.
Yep.
But anyway, Tara pats her down, and we need your guns, and we need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
And your motorcycle, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Then we're going to fight them. We're going to fight them. We're going to fight the English. That's what's happening here. They're gathering up their troops. Tara's pleading with them. Talk to Rick, right? Talk to the man. He'll explain it to you, right?
That is it. I fucking love Tara. I love her.
What do you think about the explosion? So let's talk about the actual action.
Yeah, the plan, the action. Okay. For one, I do like this idea of scaring them out of, you know, out of their perimeter with the explosions. I do still wonder, I'm like, one stick of dynamite at each of those spots is probably all you need. Like, movies and shows so underestimate the power of a full fucking stick
Jesus
of dynamite.
Christ.
Like, you blow up a goddamn house with a single stick of dynamite. You don't need a stack of six of them to do this, but,
Dude, you remember when M80s, you might be a little young for this, but you remember when M80s were totally legal?
Yeah, and it was like, what, a quarter stick?
A quarter stick of dynamite.
Yeah, you could straight up blow shit up with that.
Dude, we would light them fuckers and throw them into the night sky. Boom, boom. So fucking loud. And that's a quarter stick. Not even.
Oh,
and we'd always put the extra long wicks on them. Holy shit, man. Like, it had that green wick on it, and then you take like a regular blackjack one and tie it on and... And then whip that fucker. Dude, we blew up mailboxes, 5 gallon
buckets. Oh, you little monsters.
5 gallon buckets. Ba-boom. Nothing alive, though. We weren't sadistic assholes.
The only thing I ever did was get those, you know, those mortar shells that you buy, and it comes with the big, you know, cardboard tube.
Yeah.
And drop them down in there. We bought, like, I don't know, four, maybe five packs of those, took out all of just the mortars, tied all, wrapped all of their fuses up into one, just a big fucking bundle of them on the ground in a parking lot, lit them and just ran.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Ah, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Thank God there's no laws. It's just the fucking Mad Max apocalypse.
Sounds like my kind of place. It's funny. I'm very like Northeastern, but I almost feel like I could also be Southern too. Yeah, it's not weird.
You just there's a lot of nice white trash overlap despite where you are. Doesn't matter.
How dare you?
Hey, I'm fucking high. It's me. White you can't trash. Wave that flag, baby.
White trash, huh? Oh, you motherfucker.
Wave my white trash.
No, I'm
flag.
Talking like I would be kind of like a Doc Holliday kind of guy, right?
Oh.
Like a gentleman.
Challenging people to duels.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see you still there. You may go. Right? Just talk like that the whole time. That'd be awesome.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
Yeah. That'd be so fucking cool. Apparently, Ringo is an educated man. Now I really hate him. Anyway, I like this, but the dynamite's a bit much.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's something I do like about their plan of the dynamite is really, all it's really there for is to make them seem more overwhelming than they are. Because I had that thought in that opening montage, which I did like, of seeing them, you know, you really see it when they're crossing the river on that little boat. And you're like, fuck, that's it? Like, this is a big community. This is a pretty sizable community with a hell of a lot more guns than you. And you're bringing, what, 6, 7 people? Like, how are you gonna round out all of these people and get them out, you know, get them vulnerable? And I think using the explosives makes them, you know, it's like that whole, you know, story of like ancient armies of, you know, they surround an encampment at the night and you have each guy holding a torch in both hands approaching to make it look like you have just overwhelming force in the night and they end up retreating before the battle even happens. This kind of thing of like, let's make them think, for one, they probably made them think we're the saviors at first of this is a huge force with a lot of bigger weaponry and bigger, you know, explosives just to get them out and get them, you know, running and afraid and vulnerable. And then they could kind of corral them. Like, I like how they had these explosions timed. And for one, again, very much a Negan-esque saviors type of corralling. Like, I like that they are almost subconsciously adopting these techniques that have been used on them. Mm-hmm. Like, that's some cool shit. And that's some real world shit of enemies using, you know, opponents using their enemies' tactics, you know, adopting them and changing them. So I liked it, man. I liked them getting them out and afraid, and they already had, you know, Michonne and other people tracked onto where the armory already was so that nobody could get in there. I thought it was cool. I liked this whole setup.
Yeah. So I liked the idea of it too. I liked that you could see how veteran, that they're such veterans compared to these other people. Our group, I thought that they overwhelmed them so easily, and I didn't find it wholly unbelievable. I was kind of hoping there might have been a casualty or so, but I feel like the one thing I do feel like is I feel like it's a bit of a writing cop out to make it so clean, because you know if somebody died that the alliance would be off, right?
Yeah,
I think the totally. Walking Dead writers know, like, oh, if this heats up and something gets weird and they have to shoot one of these ladies, then there's never going to be an alliance, right? Instead of maybe using it as an opportunity to make some sort of intrigue, they decided to just say, no, we're going to make it totally clean. And I think that's a little bit weak to make it totally clean. And I think they did it because they knew the repercussions of killing one of these ladies would endanger the entire fucking thing. So that was that. I was like, yeah, is it that clean? Because think back to when Tara was corralled by them. It was like fucking cuckoo, rah! Fucking alarms, and they had a whole fucking perimeter and now they just are running around like banana heads, like, oh, it's a bomb. And they get corralled in like 2 seconds, you know?
I was surprised that nobody had a piece on them. Nobody. Nobody Nothing. Just had a sidearm. And I was like, really? Not one of you? Like, I know you're in within your walls and you feel fairly safe in here and you're, you know, at a pretty far remove from other, you know, encampments and you know this, but nobody just has, you know, shit, just a piece on your side. Like, that's not too much to ask.
And if you go back and watch the other episode, they knew she was coming a mile away. Like, they knew she was coming in, and I'm not ready to believe that Tara knows this layout enough to where she could set this whole thing up where it's just walk on in, fucking set off a bomb and corral them all and make them fight for you. Like, it seemed a little to me. But that being said, I liked all the dialogue. I liked this fucking Natanya lady's got to go, by the way.
Yeah. No, she's pretty. She's obviously extremely rigid in her viewpoint at this point of like, no, like not, we're not doing any of this. But I mean, I do like that there is one just unwavering voice here. I like that Rick hasn't just had, I mean, it would be, think about how much dumber and easier it would be for the show to just, Rick goes around to every fucking, you know, society he comes that they come across, gives his speech, and they're like, huzzah, yes, let's all join. Like, and nobody's done that. Like, everybody's like, what are you going to do for us? Or, no, we're not fucking fighting. No. Like, it's been a tough road. Like, I like that there is still, I like that there's dissension within their group here, because a lot of the younger women who are fucking probably more capable than this old crazy lady are fucking ready to get revenge. And like, I like that that's the angle that Tara brings up the most of, are you really ready to just sit here, sit back? Like, and it's, we're not just asking, hey, can you come out here and fight this battle for us? We're saying we already have an alliance building up. This is us and two other encampments of people. We have an army. We can actually really put up a fight up against these people, and you're really okay with just letting your dead sons, fathers, brothers, husbands just be dead and unavenged forever. That's it, and you're just gonna live in hiding forever. You really don't want to get a chance with a big coalition to take a shot at him. And I like that that is tempting for some of the people. I can't remember the one chick who tried to kill Tara the first time, the short hair one, is like, actually, yeah, that sounds pretty good. Like, I'm kind of on board. But you know, the leadership of the place is like, no, nah-uh.
Right.
Not doing shit.
Inflexible. Surviving. Inflexible. They've survived as they have this whole time. So why change it is her thought process, right? But maybe, you know, I'm thinking back on the explosions. Maybe the explosions were part of the smoke and mirrors to show just how, right? Just how efficient
that's a good point
could be, right? It could have been
that, hey, we have the materials to actually put up a fight.
Yes. It could have been part of the cell. Now that I'm thinking
about
it.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So maybe I don't hate it as much as I thought.
There we go. I'm gonna bring you back around.
I didn't actually hate it. I was just like, but wasn't this place so impregnable before? Maybe they're just trying to remind us that Rick.
Well, I mean, there are no men around, so it is impregnable. Yes.
Aha.
Wordplay.
He'll be here all night. One star.
Oh, God. Jesus.
And we got canceled by ourselves.
We got canceled by our network, which is us, because we hate ourselves. Fuck.
So anyway. We're gonna fight him. It's gonna be good. My boy, fucking, I'm telling you what, man. Father G considered capping Natanya. He was right there on her with his rifle as she was holding that gun up to Tara's head.
No, I can't let it go.
And Father G's like, I've got a couple under my belt at this point. Maybe I could waste an old lady and feel all right. Maybe I just could.
I think the post-apocalyptic world owes me one white lady.
Oh, yeah. He's like, man, I got 48 hour fucking deodorant on. I am just dry and smelling good. I could waste an old lady. I ain't sweating.
I like it. But no, her daughter fucking hammer fists her. Jesus Christ.
I liked that. I thought it was going to be an intense exchange of words that maybe resolve things. But I like fucking her own daughter to be like, fuck it. Whack.
Sorry, Mom. I'm gonna fucking UFC hammer fist you in the temple.
Bow.
I was like, Jesus
it's gonna be.
Christ.
I'm gonna get at least two or three in before any ref gets a hold of me. That's for sure.
Holy shit, man! She cracked her one hard, and then the barnacle zombies show up, and we get everybody working together. I see what they did here. Look at them. They're a team. They're fighting together. They're doing
there
it.
Oh. I did, you know, there's a very quick line of dialogue from Rick right as he first gets them all out there before, you know, I think Natanya shows up with her gun to Tara's head, where he says, he's like, we've got a perimeter set up for anything that's going to be coming, because they do already anticipate all them fucking TNTs are going to bring zombies out of the woodwork. Like, that shit is going to attract stuff for miles. Like, it's loud noise. So they were anticipating it.
Yeah. Carl's got a beautiful rifle, by the way.
Oh, what is he packing? I didn't even notice.
I'm trying to look at it now. It looks like that fucking H&K from Heat, actually.
Oh. That, I know. What's his, Carol's side piece who she ditched? Tobin.
side piece.
Yeah, her fucking side dick that she got tired of. Fucking couldn't even listen to him jabbering on anymore before she ditched. No, he's packing a nice gun. He's packing a nice gun. I noticed that this time. I was like, ooh, that's the gun I always use in Call of Duty.
Nice. What's the name of this episode again? I keep forgetting.
Something They Need.
Something They Need. Thank you.
Something They Need.
Yeah.
Is jazz hands.
Something They Need. Anyway, so yeah, they fight together. What'd you think about all this?
I'm okay with it. I know.
You know
it's
what they're
fucking,
doing, right? You're like, ah, you fuckers.
Like, I get it. It's maybe some convenient show writing of, oh, now a larger conflict presented itself, and we've shown that we can work together and that we're also capable and you can trust us to be able to fight. Yeah, yeah. It's fucking cool. I like it. Fuck you. Fuck you.
I like your style, kid. I appreciate that you're honest about how fucking silly it is, but you're like, ah, fuck it. I like it anyway.
Yeah, I do, man.
I like that. I like that. I like it. I'm serious. I'm complimenting.
You're not going to have a show about zombies in the apocalypse without some silly comic book moments. And this is a fun one. It's a good time. Fuck off.
It would have been cool if it was like, we are the best friends around. Like playing like music as they tore into a zombie ass.
Rick's like fucking seeing the short haired chick waste one and he nods to her and she nods back. Eventually they high five.
Yes.
They're like, yeah.
Come
we
on.
Can be a team.
That would have been badass, dude.
Oh, fuck. But yeah, no, these zombies are fucking great, too.
They look so good, don't they?
They look so good.
God.
They all came off of a cruise ship, too. Did you notice that at the beginning? It was like a cruise ship that crashed on the shore, and they're spilling out of it.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. Sweet. They fucking left Fear the Walking Dead for this one.
So we wrap this whole thing up. Natalia's old and crotchety. We go to Negan visiting Sasha. You win, she says. No, you win. What? You didn't think I'd let you keep this, did you? He takes the knife back, obviously. Baby steps. We've got to work on some things, Sasha. But I promise you, I'll try to make it fun. A little birdie told me that Rick and your people are up to no good. You're going to find us a win-win. Tomorrow's going to be a big day. I like that.
And like we
Negan
said,
knows what's up.
Well, ooh, I've got a kind of theory about that. But I like, in this moment, this was it. If Sasha was going to be ready to ambush Negan at the door and plunge a knife into his black heart, this was your moment. You had a big fucking Bowie knife to do it, and you didn't. And I love how this hesitation, I think she regrets this hesitation, this moment. I'm actually watching the scene now. Mm-hmm. When he's talking to her, she is just staring at the knife. I like that touch of her being like, fuck, I missed it. This was it. If I was really going to do this, if I was going to stab this guy and probably get shot to death by one of his cronies immediately after, this was that time, and I wasted it. And she tries to make up for it later to no avail. But as far as Negan's line of being like, oh, a little birdie told me, I honestly think he might not know shit, that there might be no little birdie at all. I think he is a smart enough guy to throw that line out there to see what her reaction to it is. To just be like, oh, you know, because he knows. Yeah, I've crushed Rick. I've got him under my boot heel. He was crying and weeping and blubbering snot to get an Emmy while I fucking forced him to chop his kid's hand off. He's mine. Oh, I got him. He's my boy producing for me. But there's always still the possibility of your fucking subjects murmuring against you. It's always out there. It's always a possibility. And I think he is not naive enough to realize it's a possibility. Maybe Rick is doing some shit. Maybe he's not. But I'm going to toss it out there like I know Rick is up to something and see what plays across Sasha's face. Like he might not be in it. There might be no little birdie at all. But if there is a birdie, I think that birdie's name is Gregory.
Yeah.
For sure.
There you go.
If it's real. But I think I honestly, I'm leaning towards it not being real at all. And that he's just, I'm going to throw it out here, see how she reacts, see if she gives anything up. This is a tense moment for her. Maybe she says something. Maybe she is heated up in this emotional moment and goes, yeah, he is, and he's going to beat you. And he goes, oh, so now I know for sure it's been confirmed. Yes, he is planning against me, and I need to go ahead and crush it. Like, I could see him just playing the field with these little remarks to see what it brings out of her.
Mm. He's definitely, or it could be both, right? It could be he knows and he wants to test her to confirm, you know, like a sort of double checking his source. Say Gregory is his source of information. Maybe he was trying to read Sasha to go ahead and confirm if Gregory was giving good information or not, if it was time for a change over at the hilltop. It's possible that all of that was part of it. But Negan is Negan's good at reading people, man. He's good at springing things and putting questions into people and catching them off guard for sure.
Oh, yeah. That's his specialty.
Yeah. Negan, nope, let's go to Gregory pouring himself a drink, looking at a map, and pouring himself another drink, and asking Cal to drive him around. He's like, you're going to drive me here.
So where do you think this is? I think, for one, it's either the sanctuary, the Savior's compound, or it's like Simon's outpost somewhere. Because Simon didn't say explicitly in the last episode, like, this is where I am, but it's like he did say something about this is how you can get a hold of me. Roll up to the place, say who you, you know, you say who you are, and I'll make it sure that you'll be let in.
I'm pretty sure it's Simon's place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's about to go full turncoat.
Yep. Of I'm going to throw Maggie under the bus, have her killed so that my leadership isn't being, you know, tested or, you know, fought out anymore.
And it makes sense. I mean, he was literally contemplating stabbing her in the back. He has to be aware of the situation he's in enough to go, shit, man, I really need to think about this. I should probably just get the fuck out of here. Like, if I'm here and I know nobody's with me on this, not one person, maybe Cal. I mean, he's alone in this place. He's alone at Hilltop. He went from the top of the pile to the bottom of the pile. And yet, he's still considered the voice of Hilltop when it comes to dealing with the Saviors. That's a weird position to be in. You're not right? You're not really the leader anymore, but you're responsible. Fucking A.
You're like the powerless figurehead that in that moment when the Saviors are there actually has power. Like you do have a say because you're the only person they're acknowledging.
Imagine if that was like work. You went to work and you're like, oh, I'm just a fucking mop pusher. And this dude comes up and he's like, I don't care. You gotta fix this thing. He's like, that's not fucking me. I don't even do it anymore. You don't have that choice. It's crazy. It's he's in a bad spot by his own making, of course, by his own slippery, sweaty nastiness.
his slippery slope of sweat.
He looks like a infomercial Bible salesman to me, right? That's what he strikes me as.
I could see him being that. Mm. Y'all need a Jesus in your life.
Can I get a J? Can I get an EA, man? He just keeps going. Oh, God.
God, he's so sweaty.
this Bible's soaked. Well, Eugene goes to see Sasha. Tells her you made a correct select. She's like, I'm ready. And then we see her sitting on the other side of the door like fucking Joker in Arkham, right?
Just fucking smiling into oblivion.
Yeah. Sitting there like the old fucking Joker bird. And,
oh, you know, we did go past one line of Negan's and, you know, Sasha's response to it, which I thought was really interesting. Of, you know, the first time, I think it when he's like teasing out the possibility of like, oh, isn't Rick going to go against me or something like that? And she's like, Rick, you're bitch.
No, that
like,
was
she
cool.
She says that to him. I like that because that is still, you know, as suicidal as she may be on her own, I like that she is still looking out for the group in this way. She knows that that Rick and company have to be seen as under him. And it can't be. There can't be an inkling of a thought that he sent her out here or that she's acting on the will of the group, that she has to get across that, no, I'm a lone wolf. This should not fall back on them. I liked that from her.
And you know what's crazy about that whole thing? Negan knew all the answers before he asked.
Totally. Totally.
He knew. He knows the answers to that. He knows that Rick wouldn't dare send somebody on a fucking suicide mission.
Right.
He knows that Rick would never even risk that. He also knows that Rick would not endorse this behavior. And that's why Sasha's still alive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Right? He's like, ooh, she's acting on her own. There's no way. But he asked anyway because he's testing her. And when she said, Rick, that bitch, although it sounded cool and I liked it, he's like, fuck you, you liar. I guarantee you he's thinking that, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's no fucking way.
Yeah, maybe Rick didn't send you out here, but Rick's up to some shit.
Yeah, that's separate for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But the fucking Negan sees this shit coming a mile away. He's like, I could write this show. Well, Eugene goes to see Sasha. She says she was wrong. I can't. I won't. Her friends will still be hurt by then. I don't know how I could have said that. And now, so let's talk about this play. Her play is, this is hilarious, by the way. Her play is, I'm going to make him feel bad. He's going to slip a weapon under the door. I'm going to use that weapon. Even though I just had a weapon.
Just had one.
I think her thought is, well, I can take him unawares. Because think about it. If he lets you out, you guys are hanging out, you're walking around the yard, he's doing his ho-ho-ho-ho, lean back.
Ho-ho-ho, leaning back real far.
This guy's fucking limboing under all his speeches. And then he's, and then...
That might be it. He might just be a limbo champion, always trying to show off.
He might be. Check me out, limbo. But
I can unhinge my knees.
Just like comically backwards. Like if Family Guy spoofed this, he'd be like at a right angle.
He's like leaning down from his ankles, just a fucking plank.
That's awesome. Dragging his bat on the ground. I could see it. But anyway, yeah. Maybe she just wants the weapon to hold, and maybe they get out in the yard. She pops him and fucking takes off under the fence or something. You know, maybe. Maybe she's trying to get an opportunity to fucking slay this fool without it being right in that moment.
Yeah.
Maybe honestly, maybe I can get away.
Yeah. But I do see it more as a back and forth of decision of where earlier she didn't think to do this and now regrets it. And it's seeing Eugene as, okay, well, maybe I can get him to give me a weapon. I have another chance. Even if that does mean her death. I think she's oscillating back and forth between these positions, and I find that realistic, that she is conflicted, that she, at one moment, you know, when she's actually looking in the face of Negan, doesn't quite know what to do with him. You know, he's kind of setting her off kilter by not coming in and being, you know, outright antagonist. He's throwing an offer at her. He's kind of talking to her and kind of understanding where she's coming from, giving her a little bit of power and free will and saying, hey, you can handle your shit yourself. Here's your knife. You take care of the zombie, you do what you want to do. Like, I think that a lot of that threw her off, and she wasn't quite sure what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And now that she's had a moment of being alone, regrets that, oh, fuck, I had that knife. I could have done it. And I think this is her just kind of desperately seeking whatever she can to still try to finish this vengeance job on Negan.
It's going to cost her life. I mean, totally. If you're oscillating back and forth between deciding on taking someone's life, you're going to fuck up. Right. If you lack the conviction, I feel like this is not going to go well for her.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get over to him back putting the poison under the door. How amazing is that? She's like, oh no.
I loved it. Yeah. Because she's like, because he's doing like the best. He's fulfilling that request in probably the kindest way of, all right, I'm not going to give you a knife or gun to fucking blow your brains out or cut your wrist or your throat. Here's a pill. You can just take it and fall asleep and you'll be dead. Perfectly the best way to fulfill this request of suicide. And she's like, oh, fuck. That's not... I can't stab him with a pill.
Good shit.
Maybe if I were MacGyver.
Rick and the clam diggers. Rick takes a shitload of guns. Father G asks if they need them all. Yes, they're going to bring them back. Cindy says that some people want to go, but it's an all or nothing thing. So they're still under Natanya's boot heel.
Oh, yeah.
Tara pegs off Rachel. I like that. Rick asks, are you okay?
Oh, I loved it.
No casualties. We discussed no casualties. Eugene visits Sasha, which we already talked about. We kind of did that out of order. Doesn't matter. They all get back to Alexandria, and we fucking see Dwight locked up. And Rick's like, on your knees, you're going to suck it.
Wow, we condensed the last 6 minutes into 9 seconds. Holy shit. I wanted to say the one thing, because I don't mind, you know, there's of course a lot of ethical quandaries, the idea of we're going to storm into this sovereign community that didn't even know about us, steal all their shit, you know, offer, hey, you can come fight with us. And if they're not, well, we're still going to take all your fucking guns. Hey, don't worry. We're going to bring them back. Wink, wink. We'll be fine. That's kind of shaky ground of like, man, that's kind of fucked what you're doing. But I can still kind of get behind it. I can still, I'm like, okay, I can see this very tough decision of like, we're kind of fucking these people over, but it's for a bigger cause. Maybe so, you know, in a way it's even in a long-term way for their benefit. That's still some shaky moral thinking, but I'm like, okay, I'll give it a pass. The thing where I'm like, Rick, you're kind of being a dick here. They're taking like what? probably 300 fucking guns from them, all sorts of different pistols and rifles. You couldn't have 7 or 8 rifles still left behind for the more martial people of the place just to keep them safe from zombies. I'm like, really? You gotta take every single one? Don't be an asshole, man. You're already being an asshole. Just not be such a big one.
Yeah. Rick, don't let them keep 6 guns, which they'll then lock up and try to run over to their shed before they get fucking...
single zombie! Run to the gun shed 100 yards away!
Too funny. Yeah. That's silly.
I was like, man, you're being a shithead now. Come on. Yeah.
He's
got
definitely,
that Negan flare up in him. Take them all.
It's definitely... I mean, he's definitely stealing. He's robbing these people.
He's robbing them.
There's no other way to look at it. He's certainly robbing them of their ability to defend themselves. You know, part of the issue becomes is it robbery once he gets there and rounds him up and has this compelling speech and everybody wants to join him except one lady? Yeah, I mean that's so, but yeah, you got to leave him with some defense.
Something, yeah. I mean, they got knives and shit, but I mean, still.
Yeah, he's fucking pulling an Egan. He's like, I don't want to get shot in the back as we walk away.
Now that you say it, that might actually be it. Of like, that old broad Natani's going to come flying out of her shed with her ice pack still on her head and fucking ripping a couple of shots off at us.
She climbs up in her fucking tree stand, fucking blows one through Tara. Oh, no, she's bleeding out. Damn it.
Take that, you uppity bitch!
I told you all the guns. All of them. Well...
I told you I'd eat you, Tara. I told you I'd eat you.
Jesus, this lady's crazy. Well, they got Dwight locked up, huh?
They do. They do. Rosita has the lock and key.
How does this go down? Rosita, he's standing there in the fucking silhouette like Count Dracula. And then he's like, yep. Hey, I'm coming over. I want to do this thing. Somehow Rosita doesn't kill him with her anger issues. Surrendering to Rosita is the worst idea ever. She's the worst person to surrender to, right?
She just wants to stab things. That's all she cares
about
right now.
You, puta!
Fuck. Shouldn't have surrendered to her. Damn.
But I do, you know, it's funny because I've seen a lot of people, you know, the reason they don't like this is that, what? There's so much specific bad blood between her and Dwight. She would just waste him the moment she saw him. And I'm like, that is also possible. Sure, mm-hmm. I see why you think
for
that.
Sure.
But... for the very same reason, it might be the reason she spares him. She sees this guy, if it's Dwight, the guy who she specifically hates. This is the guy who killed fucking Denise. He was there putting the fucking crossbow on Daryl. He was there fucking with her at Alexandria, taking her shit. She does not like him. For that reason, though, that he's so recognizable to her, I think it's a pretty powerful image of him walking up out of the shadows with his hands up saying, please don't, I want to help. I don't shoot me. I'm against Negan now too. Like that, you know, if it's just a random savior being like, oh, hey, I want to be on your side. You might just be like, ah, fuck this guy. Like, I don't know you. The fact that it's Dwight, I think, is what lends it weight of like, wait, really? You're going to try this? Like you actually want to talk to me? I could see her at least. I mean, she would probably have a gun on him the entire time, but I could see her listening to him.
Mm, yeah. And then Rick's like, on your knees, bitch.
On your knees. Mm. I'm on zip.
I'm going to pull out my thirsty and angry dick.
I thought he was going to whack him. I thought he was just going to punch him in the face. Be like, all right, you can work with us. First, I got to get one in on you, though. Mm. I got to.
Does Tara know that this is the guy that shot Denise?
I don't think so, and that's why she's so cool about everything. I think if she knew that, and I honestly thought Daryl might say some shit in this scene of like, that's the fucker that killed Denise. Mm. And then fucking Tara be right there with him trying to get to his ass.
There you go. Well, he puts the gun on him and
Kneel, boy. End of the episode.
Yep. Boosh. Walking Dead over, motherfucker. That shit.
There you go.
So, well, what?
I said, well.
That's the episode, buddy. We did it. Yeah. We got through. I know we had a little bit of a interloper there in the form of Dean Part 2.
Posse Dean.
But you don't have to worry about him. He's dead. And
I suppose we should probably get to some listener comments. I think before we do that, we for sure need to get to some. Wait, what am I saying? I'm an idiot.
All right. You okay? You stroking out over there?
Final thoughts, but before that, listener comments. Do you want to jump in?
I got Mr. David Earl. I'm rolling with positive.
You bitch.
Yeah, that's right. Suck it. I'm rolling with nothing but positive comments. All Posidines all around for my comments this time.
These are definitely Posidines' pick.
Posidines. Mr. David Earl, who is not always a head over heels lover of this show, but he says, before I hear all of the bullshit, I am with Natalia Addison, who also enjoyed this episode. He said, I loved this episode. Negan was a manipulative dick, not just a dick. He showed there are rules and sort of laid out his long-term vision. Taking the guns had to be done. Chickville, USA was offered the opportunity to help, but Miss Zabornak does not have the beach ball sized lady nuts to help. I don't know that Zabornak reference. You might have to help me there, Dean.
You read that last part again?
But Miss Zabornak does not have the beach ball sized lady nuts to help.
Zabornak? Is that what's Sasha's real name?
Zabornak. No, that's he's talking about Natanya.
Oh, spell it.
Zbornak.
Okay.
Sweet. Glad we fucking mined that for all it's worth. My guess is that they will show.
Oh, it's one of the Golden Girls broads.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay. Good. Yeah. Good on you, David. My guess is that they will show how to help. Otherwise, just taking their guns was the dumbest way to set up any characters ever. Woof.
Okay.
All right. That's well Mr. done. David.
Nice. Well, you fucked me up. So, I don't know. I had posiness. I had posy pick coming in. Michael Claudio coming at you.
Oh, bitch, you stole mine. You fucking poaching each other. Shit.
Two can play that game. The game's afoot, you rogue. All right.
Scramble to find another one.
I really liked this episode. I like Eugene's way of handling Sasha. He knows that he can't slip her a weapon, or his penis, because that would just look bad and could come back to bite him. However, because she talked about suicide, he gave her the next best thing. I know next season should bring us much excitement with all-out war arc. And if they can capture the action, plotting and scheming, it will be worth it. Just stay true, my faithful non-believers. Action is coming, and it will be delicious, nutritious, and good for you. Pa-ding! And Deborah Mercuro says cheers to that. She's another posy one. She's positive all across the board, that one.
Posy. Her and Karen, they're the locked arms diehards.
I like that.
They're holding it down.
I'm proud of them.
All right. Well, I have just chosen another. Another has been deemed.
You got another one.
I got another.
This Take it away.
This is a proper fucking accent for it, because it's Sir Craig Daly.
As and so knighted by LSG Media Herald, fucking royalty.
As so knighted, sword by either ear. A tale of two cowards. Eugene is a self-confessed one. He knows his limitations and does his best to avoid conflict and survive. This is why he is Negan, and he is trying desperately to save his friend, Sasha. At least he had the sense to realize his "it was what Abe would have wanted" was bollocks and admit so. I did like that moment. That's a moment we went by of him being like, "it's what Abraham would want," and then he's like, "well, it's what I would want." Like, he knows, Abraham wouldn't.
Not to be
that.
Confused with the dog's bollocks, which is a good thing.
Wait.
Yeah. Bollocks is bad. Dog's bollocks is good. English people taught me that. Listeners taught me that.
You've seen more Guy Ritchie movies than me. All right.
No. I didn't learn that from them. I learned that from our faithful former overlords, the Brits.
Our beloved UKers. And he goes on to say, Gregory, on the other hand, he is one but doesn't want to admit it. Not even to himself, even though inside he knows it to be the case. Beware this man. He will throw you so far under the bus if he feels it will help him. Is Gregory the little bird Negan mentioned? I would not at all be surprised. Finally, I have a concern that we are going to be left with another cliffhanger fuckery scenario. There is no way this will be resolved in the season finale, especially after Rick seemed to use a shitload of the explosives they had saved to intimidate a bunch of hippie women and children. That's a fair point.
I'm going to wrap with Natalia Addison, who posted this on the page. This was a preemptive strike. I appreciated Natalia. This is powerful, powerful Natalia here. She preemptively struck
before I could even put the thing
shock up. Shock and awe before all the other fucking haters roll in.
We're going to shock and awe them, and then they're gonna hang that's at them. loved it. Just wanted to come and say that before all the I'm not watching this anymore BS starts. Yeah. Damn. She threw the
gauntlet
down.
Fucking plant your flag, Natalia. I fucking love it.
Boom. Right.
There we go.
She is.
All right.
And she got a bunch of likes, and Floyd Fry was all like, I like it. And then Natalia's like, I agree. And then Susie York was like, I found myself surprised a lot in a good way. And then Dave Earl was like, I love this shit. And then they all.
There we go.
Like, yeah, it was crazy.
Look at that.
And then they all fucking pulled their resources.
Then William Alvarez and Marcus had to roll in and be like, it sucks. Stop feeling happy.
And then they pulled all their. That's TK421. You show some respect. they pulled all the resources together and created the Posse Dean bot. Which I have slain.
They constructed him, and he invaded our show.
All right. We got to get out of here because we got another podcast to... are we going to do some final thoughts?
You know, I don't have a ton to say here, but do you have any final thoughts?
No, we got to get out of here because we've got another podcast to record called Fake Pizza, Real Dicks. See you next week. All right, everybody, thank you for tuning into another episode of The Walking Dead podcast by LSG Media. If you like what you heard, remember to share the episode with friends. Get us out there, get our name out there, help us out. And you know what? Check out libertystreetgeek.net. We got all kinds of podcasts over there. Plenty to listen to: science fiction, film, Game of Thrones, True Detective, and more. All right, we'll see you next time.